Hello and welcome to the Diz Unplug Roundtable Email Edition for December 18th, 2007. I'm your host, Pete Werner, and this is going to be our final email show for 2007. We will have our regular shows up next on Christmas Day and on New Year's Day, but we will not be doing another email show until our January 8th, 2008 show. So next week, of course, we are giving away a seven-night cruise. If anybody had their email read or their voicemail played on our show this year, you're in the running. And so we tried to get as many emails and voicemails played today as we could. Did things a little differently this time. We've got all our voicemails first and then our emails second. So we got a long show today. We're going to get right to it. All right, our first voicemail today is Sue on Cape Cod, the chocolate-making Sue on Cape Cod.
We love chocolate people.
Okay, we love our chocolate. And you should have seen this table yesterday when we were when Julie passed out the Italian chocolates.
Yeah, they're gone.
Like a vacuum cleaning sound. So here's Sue with her question.
Hi, everyone. Hi, podcast crew. My name is Sue. I'm calling from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, or Cape Cad in Bob speak. My name is Pershing on the boards, and I've been a member since 2003 when I was lucky enough to find your website. I had just gotten off the phone with Walt Disney World Travel Company and Disney Cruise Line and was kind of reeling in sticker shock, thinking I could never afford a Disney vacation for my family. I'm a single mom of three boys, one with autism, and at that time my boys were 5, 7, and 8. Your website was so great in helping to prep my autistic son with pictures and planning. He felt so comfortable in Walt Disney World. It was getting a little choked up. It was just fantastic. Anyway, my question I'm several trips later. We've done Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. We've done free dining. And last spring, I was brave enough finally to get through the facts list on the DVC trade, the DVC rent board. For renting points from a DVC club member, and we rented at the Beach Club. Everybody wonders how I do it. I try and tell them. They seem skeptical, but we definitely have had some great vacations. But next spring, for the first time, it's just not me and the boys. It will be also an addition of one of my friends and her son, and also my ex-husband and his girlfriend, and her teenage daughter. We will be renting from a DVC club member again at Animal Kingdom Lodge. We're renting a two-bedroom villa. So my question is, since this is my first time touring the world with other people, my question is, how do I do this and not be kind of the know-it-all, overbearing person? I know from the past podcasts you've mentioned relatives that have come down or friends that have come down, and many of you guys have taken them around Walt Disney World. I don't want to be overbearing, but then again, I don't want to be traveling around in circles because even though I have all this Disney knowledge in my head, I'm taking a back seat, so to speak. So I was wondering if you guys had any tricks or advice to hitting a balance in this area, and I would greatly appreciate it. I listen to you guys every week. I actually work in a chocolate store, a chocolate and cafe store here on Cape Cod. I put together chocolate assortments in the basement with a couple coworkers of mine. My coworker and I love listening to the podcast, even though she has no intention of ever going to Walt Disney World because hot weather and crowds are not her thing. She loves listening to the podcast with me and laughing. You guys are so funny sometimes. anyway, thanks so much. Let me know if you've got some great advice for me. Thanks. Bye.
Well, for starters, your autistic son, your ex-husband, his girlfriend, and her teenage daughter. Wow. You're
brave.
Brave. Yeah, very brave. Very, very brave. You know, and I liked your voicemail for a couple of reasons. Number one, as I was mentioning to the team after we listened to it, this is the second time this month that someone has mentioned to me that their autistic child was helped by looking at videos of things, you know, helping them to realize what to expect. So that just has me thinking right now, you know, are there things we can be doing on the site that would help a parent with an autistic child better prepare their son or daughter for Disney World? So certainly if you guys have any suggestions on that, I would love to hear it. But in terms of traveling with an extended family, you know, it's a dicey thing whenever you do a vacation like this. My personal experience when we've traveled with my family down here, the rule is everybody is free to do whatever it is they want to do. We don't all have to move as like the Borg, one unit, going everywhere.
That's always fun.
And well, you find that it takes far too long to get from point A to point B. If you've got a group of 10 people and you're going from spaceship Earth to the land, somebody's going to straggle behind. Somebody wants to go into a store. Somebody has to go to the bathroom. And if you're traveling as a group, that trip from spaceship Earth to the land is going to take you half an hour. Whereas if people are free to go where they want, you know, they can go with you if they want to go off on their own. I'm sure they know that you've done this many times and that you're going to be planning your trip for you and your son and presumably your friend and her son. So that's...
She has two other children.
Yeah.
There's three... She has three children plus the friend's child,
right,
plus the teenager.
I see.
So you have kids of all different ages. So not everybody's going to want to do the same stuff.
Exactly.
I suggest you plan for your family.
Correct.
Yes.
You and your kids. And say to them, and I would give advice when asked...
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, listen, this is what my plans are for the day. I've set up a couple of meeting points throughout the day. So if you want to get together for lunch, I will be here.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to get together for dinner, I will be here. I have a cell phone if you get lost or have problems. I think if you try and plan for that many people, that many disparate people,
yeah,
you're going to end up pulling your hair out and beating your children. It's impossible to move that many people.
I agree. Even
adults who all agree on going to the same place, it's impossible to move them from one place to another and herd them all together. It's like herding squirrels.
Or herding cats, yeah.
Ask all of them what they actually want to see and experience during their vacation and get an idea of what everybody's expectations are.
But I understand her point of not wanting to come off as the expert.
No, I know.
Because that, you know, then people could become resentful. I suggest you just, if you answer questions as they're asked and plan for you and your kids.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, you know, I know when Taylor comes or when we have people who visit, they expect us to show them around,
show
them the way. So we're kind of the opposite. But at the same time, I think I agree with you, Kevin. Let them ask their questions. But she should also let them know. Be like, I've been here 100 times. I know anything that you guys need to know.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying to them, you know, I don't want to be overbearing.
Right.
I don't want to control your trip.
Let them know.
If you want me to give you advice, I'm happy to give you advice. I'm going to plan my trip. And, you know, schedule some events for everyone to do together. I mean, you know, fireworks or a special dinner, things like that. But I would not, I think it would be a huge mistake going into planning that by trying to organize everybody's experience. You're going to have a miserable vacation. Yeah. You're going to have a miserable vacation because you're going to feel responsible
for
everyone's good time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a responsibility that you should be taking on, in my opinion, that you should take onto your shoulders.
The one thing I would try to get everybody on the same page is looking at the Magic Kingdom and when their nighttime fireworks and parade is going on, because not every night that happens. And that might be the one thing that ties everything together.
That's a good point.
As, okay, Monday night is the fireworks. Everybody wants to get to the park by 5 o'clock, and we'll meet at a certain point. And, you know, but
yeah, I mean,
everything ties into the Magic Kingdom. Everything else, you work around.
I would also suggest coming up along those lines, coming up with a list of must do's for everybody, things you know everybody's going to want to do.
Yeah,
and there, you know, those are your common experiences, and then everybody, you know, in between those, everybody can go have their own.
I don't mean to state the obvious, but don't pick things like, let's everybody meet in front of the castle at 3 o'clock.
Right.
There will be 4 billion people in front of the castle at 3 o'clock for the parade, and you'll never find everybody. Pick things that are a little more out of the way. You know, let's meet in front of the barber shop at 3 o'clock,
that's a
kind
good
of thing. Something like that. Pick something that's a little more out of the way so everybody would be able to find it on the map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tour guide Mike has a lot of good tips, too. Although some of his are... You know, your commando type touring, but he has some good tips for different scenarios.
Yeah, you know, we really neglect to mention Tour Guide Mike as a resource, and we should. He's an advertiser on our discussion boards. He's he advertises on our theme parks board. Tour Guide Mike is he was a VIP. Mike Yule was a VIP tour guide for Disney for a number of years, and then went into business himself doing it, and does a lot of, you know, celebrities and wealthy people come in and only use him when they come into the parks. And he launched a website a few years back that has all his best practices and tips. And it's a very involved, very detailed website. It's tourguidemike.com. We have links all over the site, and we'll put one in the show notes page.
It still brings her back to her original issue, you know, having a set plan, and are they going to want to follow it with her? And
yeah, I think we covered that though by saying, you know, it's better to plan your vacation and make the service, you know, make your advice available. But
also, I don't mean to beat this dead horse. You're the one with the autistic son. Make the plans fit your needs, and then allow other people to follow them if they choose.
Correct. I agree with that. So I hope that helps, Sue. And
I want to say hi to the friend that helps make chocolate.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
She didn't mention her name.
Hi, friend
that makes chocolate.
The one who doesn't want to come here because it's hot and crowded.
Yeah.
Who lives in Cape Cod.
Yeah, Cape Cod.
It's beautiful here. It's been beautiful here lately. Should come down in December.
But Cape Cod is not hot right now, right?
No, but during the summer months, Cape Cod is hot and crowded.
Well, Cape Cod's nice in the winter.
Not in that little basement where she's forced to make chocolate.
That sounds hot and crowded, too.
I feel cool and lonely.
I'm imagining Lucy and Ethel.
Yeah, right.
You know?
I've got to be honest with you. I could put up with hot and crowded if it meant I was standing in a basement filled with chocolate. I don't know.
And the friend's at the end of the conveyor belt, and the chocolates get faster and faster, so Sue can go on
a
vacation.
Yeah, all you listeners who are in the chocolate business, you know, start sharing the love. You know?
Have we done enough sucking up to the chocolate place?
And then I come in with a direct pitch. Okay, our next voicemail comes to us from 13-year-old Jessica in Long Island, New York. And she has a question on the college program.
Hello, I am Jessica from Long Island, New York, and I am 13 years old. And I was wondering if you could do a segment on the Disney college program. I know I'm a little young to be thinking about college, but you can never be too prepared. There are lots of questions that could be answered on the subject, like, what are the specifications to get in? Where do you live, and what are the conditions like? How much do you get paid to work for Disney, and how long do you work there for? Do you know anyone that went through this program that have any stories to tell, or anyone that ended up working for Disney afterwards? Thanks for the podcast. My mom listens to it nonstop, and I hope to have the segment aired.
Well, Jessica, thanks very much for that. That is actually a great idea. For a segment, and Corey is going to take up the challenge. Corey was in the college program for how long, Corey?
Well, I did it in 97, the summer of 97, and I came back and did it in 98. Loved it so much. A lot of things have changed from when I did it, so I'll have to do a little bit more research.
Well, you guys have friends that are...
Oh, yeah. We have, I have a family member that went through it recently.
My friend Tiffany.
Yeah.
She also did the advanced internship, so she did like 3 sessions. You know, 2 college programs plus the internship.
I've met some great friends through it. I mean, 3 of the guys that stood in our wedding, I met on the college program.
And I actually didn't do the college program, but Tiffany was a member, and she was in our wedding, too.
Yeah.
So you'll meet a lot of great friends.
Yeah.
If you do decide to do it, you know, for Jessica, I mean, she's only 13 now.
Well,
but,
you know what? I agree with you. It's never too early to start thinking about
planning.
College.
When did you start planning, Corey?
When did I start planning?
When did you decide you wanted to do,
the college program?
When he saw the flyer?
I saw the flyer at LSU, and I'm like, I've got to go to this meeting. I went and checked it out, went and interviewed. It was a three-person interview. I interviewed with three other people, and they accept one person. So out of those three.
You know Corey
stood out. A lot of things have changed since then, but yeah, I think I was a sophomore in college when I did it.
Jessica should consider a job in broadcasting. She has
a got
voice.
A great voice, Jessica.
I'm
you
pretty
really
sure
do.
That you do have to have one semester or two semesters under your belt before you can do the college program. You can't go in as a freshman, I don't think.
Yeah, Jessica definitely has a future in broadcasting if she wants it. She's
a lot of
voice.
Fun. It's a lot of fun. If you love Disney, I mean, it's a paid mm-hmm. vacation, really, and one of the most magical places.
But he'll gather some more information for us.
Yeah,
sure.
We'll definitely do a segment on that, Jessica. So since Corey's taken up the flag. Go ahead and pick a number.
Add it to my segment list.
Yeah.
I have pools.
Corey's got a lot of
gems. Gems.
You have a lot of segments, but you haven't done any yet.
Well, yeah. I'm waiting till it gets a little warmer.
Well, I'm leaving them alone right now because we're going through a server migration. So I'm not gonna beat them up too much. It's Christmas. it's Christmas, and there's a server migration going on. So
go swimming, Corey.
You know, it dawns on me. We've never mentioned that. We've never mentioned what's going on with the servers to our listeners. We're making a huge change right now to our over the next few weeks. We're making huge changes to our server farm. A lot of cool things. A lot of power. A lot of strength in the new servers.
Server farm.
I don't understand what any
is
that
what
you means.
Call?
Yes.
All the servers are moving west. As
we
far
finally,
as I know.
we finally have a server set up that's
a farm.
What I would always want. What we've always wanted to do.
The server is the computer where our sites are, and a server farm means we have more than one.
Yeah, we have.
And now they hook together,
it?
Now they talk together.
Nine? Is it now nine?
I'm going out and milk the servers.
Do we harvest the servers? No?
No, we don't tip the servers either.
We don't tip them, and we don't harvest.
So we have, you may notice some downtime in the next couple of weeks, mildly here and there. That's what that is.
But this is going to make the boards faster.
Oh,
right?
Oh yeah. This is going to make the boards faster, and it's also going to make it much, much easier for us when, because what always happens is whenever we, you know, upgrade to a new server, we max it out in a matter of weeks. So now the way this is set up, as we need more power, it's going to be a lot easier for us to add a new server into the architecture and picks up the load and we're good. So I expect the boards to be a lot faster when this is done, and it also just gives us so much room to grow and do a lot of new stuff. So I'm real excited about
and
it.
Daddy's going to be happy.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Huh?
I think he was talking about you.
That's just creepy.
Yeah.
Don't ever do that again. All right.
Okay. And Daddy's going to be happy. Isn't he? Is Daddy happy? Tell me, Daddy, are you happy?
Don't spank me.
Don't spank me, Dad.
Daddy dearest. Okay, people.
We'll see what mood I'm in tonight when I'm editing. Oh. All right, so that's...
Jessica.
Yeah, we never thank Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you very much, Jessica.
Where are we? What are we doing?
We're on a farm of servers.
You have to plant the little server seeds.
All right. All right, our next voicemail comes to us from Jennifer in Ohio, who has some questions about saving money on her vacation.
Hi, podcast team. I absolutely love your podcast. Listen to it every week and patiently await its arrival each Tuesday. I wanted to call and see if you could cover on the podcast some ways that families or individuals could save money at Disney World and all places surrounding Disney World. My family and I will be coming to Disney World this year, and, you know, times are tough. Gas prices are high. The economy's weak. And I am just wondering what your favorite and best tips are on how to get the most bang for your buck and to save a little dough when you're in Orlando or the surrounding area. Any tips are welcome. I read the budget boards, and I get a lot of good ideas there, but anything that you can add would be wonderful.
Okay, well, what do you guys suggest?
Window shop.
What? Window shop?
I'm playing.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple of different camps. There's a couple of different ideas. She talks about gas prices being high. You can stay on Disney property and pay a little bit for more for your hotel, but then you don't have to buy gas. You can use Disney transportation. Or you can stay off property where prices are a little bit lower for your resort and do things like go to Publix and get a bucket of fried chicken, which is $9 and will feed your entire family. You know, you could get a whole meal for $10. So it depends on how you want to approach it.
Well, yeah, there are a number of options. You know, it starts out with are you the on-property or off-property type? You know, there are people who want a discount, but they don't want so much of a discount that they're not going to be on property. For those people, you're really looking for you're looking for the package specials with free dining, or you're looking at the Swan and Dolphin. If you're willing to stay off-property, suddenly your options get a lot broader.
Yeah.
One option, for example, and again, we have relationships, financial relationships with these businesses, so I just want to disclose that up front, but Sheraton Vistana, that's a timeshare facility, but they rent out the unused rooms as hotel rooms. And these are absolutely gorgeous units with full kitchens, and, you know, so you can prepare a lot of meals. You have a beautiful room close to property, and you can prepare your meals right there.
I did that for a week and a half this summer, and we went to Publix supermarket and got breakfast foods and snack foods and had a full kitchen. And, you know, we had the two small grandkids with us, and, you know, you get up and you make them breakfast, you give them a bowl of cereal, get the milk out of the fridge, and you can save a lot of money that way by just food.
And the rates at Vistana range from anywhere, I mean, on the low end, we get about $99
sometimes
a night.
Yeah.
But on average, about anywhere from $119 to $139 a night for a one-bedroom.
Yeah, and then the two-bedrooms a little bit more. But and two-bedroom, you know, you have that full kitchen, and you can sleep up to
You have a full kitchen in the one-bedroom as well. Yeah.
Another idea is the Dreams Villas of Orlando, which is 3- and 4-bedroom units about 5 miles from Disney.
And we haven't talked about Dreams Villas in a while. For those who aren't familiar, that's John and Kevin own Dreams Villas. They have their vacation homes.
I mean, everybody who stays 7 nights or more gets a Sam's membership. So, and if you're already a Sam's member, you can use it as a gift card. Sam's is right nearby, so you can stock up on soft drinks or whatever you want. And, I mean, there's a couple of supermarkets within a couple of miles or a couple of blocks drive, excuse me. So starting at $99 a night, that's a 3- or 4-bedroom unit. So you could save a great deal of money by putting up to 10 people in one unit.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know about Sam's. They might not have it in their area, or they might be from outside of the U.S. One of the good things about the Sam's Club membership is that you can also buy reduced gas. That's the cheapest gas you're going to find anywhere.
That's a good point.
So if you're worried about the gas prices, then you can put more people in those units. So it really depends on, you know, you got to take a step back and think about what's important. I don't think that, you know, a lot of people think that they have to bring back a lot of expensive souvenirs for the kids. Take them free napkins. I think kids get a kick out of those. And straws.
If I had said that, you'd...
This is what John... These are the souvenirs John gets for his nephews when they're in town. One of the nice things about Dream Villas is that it's located... It's set back off of Highway 192. So you have real good access to everything you need to get to. But it's set back far enough that you'd never imagine that 192 was just right over there. It's like off in its own little world.
I like the street name.
We feature the villas at Seven Dwarfs Lane.
Yep, that's the name of the street. It's on Seven Dwarfs Lane.
That's a great name.
And they're beautiful units. I mean, they're absolutely really – they're brand new units. They're just built. And they're beautifully furnished.
Just to tie this voicemail to another voicemail, Dreams Villas of Orlando is in Seven Dwarfs Lane, and Seven Dwarfs Lane is across from the original Disney college program property. That's where the original college program folks stayed. So you know if that's where Disney's putting their college folks, you can tell how close it is to Disney.
Exactly. Yeah. So, no, it's very
close.
It's
easy to get from the villas over to Disney World.
And it's easily accessible to SeaWorld and Universal and
Again, since we're talking about things that, you know, we have a financial relationship with, I just want to make it clear to people that you'll notice that we, you know, John and I are part owners in Dreams Unlimited Travel. John and Kevin have Dreams Villas. We don't beat you guys over the head with this stuff. We really try and only bring it up when it's appropriate. And I always try and make the disclosure that, you know, we have financial relationships. We don't talk about anything that we're not happy to push.
Right. And the same thing with tickets. You know, don't buy your tickets at the gate.
No.
There are plenty of discount options on the web to get tickets.
The official ticket center is who we do business with.
Universal ticket deals would be good for them.
Yeah, I mean the $86 deal, but take advantage of that soon.
And I also just want to mention Buena Vista Suites. You can get a queen suite with two queen beds in the bedroom. You have a small refrigerator and a microwave. But the good thing is every day, everybody in the room that's traveling with you gets a free breakfast. And that's a great value.
My parents love that, by the way.
You know,
my mom said, they use real butter.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good breakfast. It's not like the Homewood Suites, right, chumpy continental breakfast where, the, you know, it's like, you know.
I hate continental breakfast.
This is actually, I mean, they actually cook stuff
for
you.
They have eggs. They'll cook eggs to order over easy and stuff. They don't do omelets, but they have all the different cereals and the milks and the fruits and everything. And it's a great breakfast. We did it. We spent a few days there.
And you're talking about on average $88 a night for a room at the Buena Vista Suites. And that's generally what we have all year. I mean, certain times of the year it goes up, but. Mm-hmm. For the most part, it runs about $88 a night for that queen suite. So
get like up to six people in the room.
I think if you're looking to save money, and a budget is really something that you have to consider, I really think you have to look towards staying off property. Mm-hmm. And taking advantage of things like the fried chicken deal at Publix and buying cereals when you get two for buy one, get one free, and things like that. I think you can really do it inexpensively.
Yeah, because your food budget is going to eat you up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the biggest challenge.
That's a big chunk. And when you can go to a grocery store and buy some food, I mean, you're not going to obviously eat all your meals in your room, but you could knock out maybe half your meals.
Correct.
And even if you stay in a value resort, you don't have a refrigerator in there, so you can't bring leftovers.
Exactly.
And every time you go to the food court, you're going to spend a family of four. You'll spend
$60 every time you sit down.
I one of the best ways I can think of is we live here and bring a bottle of water with us to the park. And then fill it up. Everybody place you go will give you a glass of ice water. Taking a bottle with you, I mean, Disney charges $2.50 for a bottle of water. So I think, you know, if you're looking at a family of four, that's $10 every time you're thirsty.
And when it's hot out, you drink that water. I mean, it goes like that.
And if you go to Publix or even the Sam's Club, you can get a package of 12 or 24 for
$6,
and you know, and then you put them in the refrigerator and take them with you, and you'll save a ton of money just on water.
And if you've been following the budget board and doing your research, you know a lot of this stuff already. We're not telling you anything new.
Right.
The point with anything when you're looking at a discount is how much are you willing to give up? How much of your experience going on vacation are you willing to give up? What's important to you? You know, that's the price of having to budget. Now, if you get lucky and you budget well and you find the right deals, you don't have to give up that much at all. But, you know, you have to determine what your priority is. Is priority staying on site, staying off site? Is it, you know, you want to do a lot of restaurants, so you want to save on the hotel, or you need to save on the meals, so you need something like Dreams Villas or Vistana? So I hope that answers your question. You have something else you want to add?
Yeah, one more thing. Okay. I just want to mention that they should sign up for their airlines that they like to fly on to get deals on if they're going to fly too. There's several deals. Southwest has a deal.
Ding.
Yep.
Jennifer, we need your email address. So
yeah,
send us an email.
And also, you know, the discounts area on the Diz is always being updated with whatever information we get, whether it's cruise lines, annual pass discounts, room-only discounts, packages.
The information's out there.
Yep, it's all out there. So we'll have links to some of this stuff in the show notes page this week. But thank you very much for the question. All right, our next voicemail comes to us from Erica in Long Island. It's another Long Islander. And she has some questions on Disneyland.
Hello, Pete, Kevin, Kevin, John, Bob, Corey, and Julie. This is Erica from Long Island, New York, Erica FNY on the boards. I have a few questions about Disneyland. For the past 3 years, my boyfriend and I have visited Disney World, and for this year, I would really like to go to Disneyland and change it up a bit. I am a little bit concerned that I will miss Disney World and all the events and attractions there while in Disneyland. I know that there are many new attractions to experience there, but I was wondering if I need to prepare for these differences that I will encounter. Also, if you can recommend any decent non-Disney hotels to stay in while there, I would really appreciate it. It will just be myself and my boyfriend, and we are both in our late 20s. Thanks for all of your hard work and dedication to the podcast, and I truly enjoy listening.
Erica, you leave a smart voicemail. You're pitching me a ball. You know I'm going to hit. Any opportunity to talk about Disneyland and extol its virtues and its differences from Walt Disney World, I usually take. So let me start there and say that, yes, there is a big difference between Walt Disney World and Disneyland. If you go in looking to compare experiences, you're going to do yourself and Disneyland a great disservice. These are two, and I know this is not hyperbole, these are two very different destinations. Walt Disney World is self-contained. The whole point behind it was to keep everything you need to do within Disney property and in Disney control. That's not the experience you have out in California. California is not nearly as big. They don't have the kind of land. So they have to work a lot more with the surrounding area and do things with Universal, for example. Out there, Universal and Disney are friends. Out here, they hate each other's guts. So there's a lot of, there are some differences like that. So the main thing that I noticed when I went out there for the first time was how compact everything is. You can walk from any one of the three Disney-owned hotels through downtown Disney to either Disneyland, the Disneyland Park, or California Adventure. And that made it a very unique experience.
That's a plus in my book.
It was a big plus. The other difference that you do need to be prepared for is that Disneyland has a much stronger local population, its fan base is much more local than the fan base here in for Disney World is. And so the locals tend to fill the park. Lines are a lot longer in Disneyland. Crowds are a lot heavier. It is a smaller park. It is not as big as our Magic Kingdom. And it does crowd up. So having a good touring strategy and knowing what days to go and what things to hit ahead of time is even more critical out there, I think, than it is out here. So, and then there's the aspect of you have Southern California. And that to me is, you're good for about maybe 3 or 4 days tops at Disneyland. I don't think you could spend much more than that and have a meaningful vacation experience.
Without repeating yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So to fill a week in Southern California at Disneyland, you really have to reach out to Southern California and do some stuff. And this is why we had done the video trivia challenge last January. I'll put a link back up to that.
Yeah, so
people can see. I mean, we're not giving away the prizes this year, but you can see all the different places. We went all over Southern California, from Venice Beach to Huntington Beach, Laguna Beach, San Diego. All of these things are an hour's drive. Pretty much, depending on traffic, is an hour's drive from Disneyland. And it's a nice drive. I mean, going down to San Diego is a great drive.
It's pretty.
And, Venice Beach was awesome. The Santa Monica Pier. Places I'd heard about, going down to Hollywood, seeing some of the very touristy things in Hollywood.
Yeah, Mulholland
Drive. I liked climbing up to the Hollywood sign.
Yeah. I mean, there are some really, really neat experiences you can have out there that are very unique. That, I like it because, like I said, you've got Disneyland there, so I can have my Disney experience, and then I can have
a little cultural experience.
The rest of Southern California.
Exactly.
And I love the L.A. Farmers Market.
L.A. Farmers Market is out of this world. God. What a great place to go have lunch.
I get off the plane and I head there first. That's my first stop.
I like to watch them make crepes there.
That's a great spot. That is a great, great spot.
It's really worth it. It's worth it just to go there. That's to me is an afternoon of entertainment.
Oh yeah.
And MGM tried to recreate it on the street going to Tower of Terror.
Right.
So I mean, you can go see the actual one.
Yeah, it's the farmer's market is right next to CBS Studio City, where they film like The Price is Right and
yep,
all that stuff. So
right around the corner.
Yeah, it's all. I mean, it's, and you know, for me, that's, I love that part. I love going around Hollywood. Hollywood's a little seedy and a little dirty, but you know what?
It really was my least favorite part. I wouldn't go back. I mean, like, I don't like that area.
I just love the movie references,
like the,
and
the Grauman's Chinese Theater and all that kind of stuff was really neat to see in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But as far as like the people hanging out around the streets, it's kind of like, can I go back to my hotel?
Scary people. Diana and I, on one of our trips, we actually went and watched him shoot a sitcom over in Hollywood.
Over at Universal.
Over at Universal.
I did too. I went and saw a taping of Frasier when I was out there.
It's very easy. It's very easy to get tickets to shows.
And they're free.
They're free. And so, I mean, those, like I said, so it's a very different experience. You're not, most people are not going to spend 3 or 4 days going around Orlando when they come here. But in order to have, you know, a real vacation, you really need to do that if you're going to go out to Disneyland for a week. So, like I said, it's a different mindset. You can't go into it saying Walt Disney World, Disneyland. The two things cannot be compared.
Yeah.
If you want to compare Magic Kingdom, that's fine. And frankly, I have to give the nod to, obviously, to Disneyland. It's the original. And I think it is still the best. I think it's,
you know, I'm going to agree with you, Peter.
you know, but there are people who don't. There's
something about
really,
being surrounded by all the history.
Yeah. It's the history that makes it.
It makes it more magical to me, knowing that Walt actually was in that park. And
that he built it. Yeah. That it was his hands that put that together. So,
As a Walt Disney World veteran, you're going to find it fascinating to just go and do the compare and contrast.
And just see the differences, yeah. Right.
Just walking, when you walk under the train station, it's kind of this sort of weird Twilight Zone thing. You sort of know where everything is and where you think it should be, and it's a little different. So it's a little disconcerting at first, but it's a good disorientation because it's like, wow, this is the same but different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think anybody here around the table is going to agree that if you've been here a whole bunch of times and this is something that you think interests you, then you definitely should give it a try. The plane fare is about going to cost you the same.
And if you're going out with your boyfriend, the romantic opportunities, Laguna Beach, even like on Mulholland Drive, pulling over and going and looking at the Hollywood sign and overlooking Universal at sunset.
Yeah.
San Diego has got to be one of the most not only the most beautiful city I think I've ever seen, the cleanest city I've ever seen, but an incredibly romantic city. It's just got a beautiful, everything's beautiful in San Diego.
Any place on the water for me. I love being on the water.
Which was the hotel that we stayed at, and it was like being on a cruise ship.
That was in Laguna Beach, the Surf and Sand.
That was
fantastic. Terrific, terrific hotel.
Opened the doors, and it was like the water, it was like being on a cruise ship.
No, the opportunities to see other things, like, for instance, if you're in Hollywood, there's the Hollywood and Highland Complex, and that's where they film the finale of American Idol. Mm-hmm. So there's always
and the Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency is also there.
Pete's been watching that.
I love her.
I adore her.
She is, talk about a train wreck.
Oh my God.
Didn't she just call Tyra fat?
Did she?
Yes.
She called Al Roker fat. She's
something else.
Yeah. She looks like a French poodle.
She's become our crazy old lady. I just love her.
Well.
But what I was saying was there's an opportunity to run into different things. You'll never know who's filming on the side street. You never know who you're going to walk into in the farmer's market. You turn a corner and you walk into somebody famous. So it's something to go and do and see.
And what's really impressive is that we have been talking about California and Hollywood for a good 10 minutes now. We've only had one gay non sequitur. And I think that says a lot for us, really,
that's
really and
right.
truly. Then we all, and of course, it came from me.
However, you and I are the only ones who watch the Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency.
Yeah, there you go.
I turn it on, and John actually walks out of the room. He can't stand her.
Love her.
And as far as hotels, one of the differences about in Disneyland to Disney World is Disneyland has embraced their neighbor hotel partners.
Yeah,
and there's really a tremendous number of hotels out there that are very good
and walking distance
and have a great relationship with Disney, so that they made this partner relationship with them.
There's also a lot of garbage hotels around Disney. Okay, there's some good, there's some bad. In terms of non-Disney owned hotels, the only one out there I've ever stayed in was the Sheridan Park, which
Sheridan
is
Sheridan Park. It's on Harbor Boulevard.
On Harbor Boulevard. That's where we stayed when we did the video trivia challenge. That was our base of operations. Mm-hmm. It's right across the street from the park. We were able to walk over if we wanted to.
Two blocks down.
There was good transportation. The what is it? The BART or the
art?
No, art. Yeah.
Yeah.
the BART is San Francisco, but. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was very convenient to get everywhere we needed to go. The rooms were very nice. Mm-hmm. The price was right. I forgot what we paid, but we got a good price.
I've stayed at the Homewood Suites just down from the Disneyland park, and that's also very nice.
Yeah,
that was brand new just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I know we have some of them. I know the ones we have listed on the site we've given our thumbs up to, so I'll make sure I include a link to those as well. We have a bunch. We list a few of them on the site.
All the ones on the site Dreams Unlimited travel agents have actually visited, done a walkthrough, and sort of given their...
At the very least,
at the very least, if not stayed. So they've got our thumbs up as far as, you know, cleanliness and quality and service.
We would also recommend that you visit the Disneyland boards and get some information that
way.
Some
great information out there, especially our moderator over there, Mary Jo, is just a walking encyclopedia.
Mary Wiley.
On Mary Jo Mulatto Wiley, right? She's a walking encyclopedia on Disneyland, knows everything about it, and is a doll of a woman.
Pete, I have one other suggestion for him. Go to Napa Rose for dinner.
Oh, sorry.
He's excited.
Oh, yeah. No. Napa Rose, absolutely.
And do the dinner with all the wine pairings. Diana and I did that, and you and Walter have done it, and it was like... Just fantastic.
They are in their 20s, so money may be a consideration.
Yeah, well,
that's
if you need,
restaurant.
It is. I mean, that's pricey. That wine pairing dinner is probably going to set you back about $200, $300.
Well,
the
if they're
you.
Planning for a nice trip for themselves, they can
so
plan
find
ahead,
some nice
save
places
in
at downtown Disney. Also,
oh yeah.
Have a yard sale or something beforehand.
So, well, I hope Erica that gives you some guidance, and I'll tell you, you will not be disappointed with Disneyland. It's a great resort. It's really well run. The cast out there is terrific. They're really into their legacy. They really take it seriously. I think you're really, as a Disney fan, you're going to enjoy it.
Before I went, I felt the same way she did. I'm like, okay, I love Walt Disney World. There's no way I'm going to enjoy Disneyland. I heard it's small.
That's what I thought.
The opposite of what
the only thing.
When John and I first went there, most of what's there now wasn't there. They had everything under construction. So it was, and even then I thought, I'm like, wow, this is a really cool place.
I do want to give a tip. Bob, I forgot his name, who gave us this tip, but he said one of the best attractions at Disneyland is to be in the parking garage while the fireworks go off and to hear all the car alarms go off at the same time. He said it's something.
He says you got to go up to the roof and watch you can watch the fireworks from the new parking garage. And then he says the funniest thing is as soon as the first fireworks goes off, all the cars and the thing go
all at the same time.
Crazy.
I don't think I'd like to be there personally, but that's just
me. I like Small World better myself.
But anyway.
All right, well, I hope that answers your question, Erica. Thank you very much. All right, our next voicemail comes to us from Jen in Montreal, who has some comments and some questions about Disney parks outside the U.S.
Hi, gang. This is Jen from Montreal. I enjoy your weekly banter. Keep up the good work. I'm a frequent visitor to Disney World and the original Disneyland, and I have the luck to be able to visit Disneyland Paris twice a year. I was wondering, first of all, had any of you visited any of the international parks or if you had any plans to do so? And secondly, my main question is, there seems to be a definite dearth of information concerning Disneyland Paris, Hong Kong, and Tokyo Disney. I find this especially odd considering the multiplying of Orlando and Anaheim-related books and websites, travel specialists, and podcasts. So do you have any ideas to why these parks are not more heavily promoted by both the actual Disney company and their supporters? I can only speak for Disneyland Paris, but it's a wonderfully different park with incredible attention to detail and art direction. I would even dare say that some of the ride incarnations are superior to the American versions. I'm thinking rides like Phantom Manor and Pirates of the Caribbean, Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain. Planning is also an issue because there's not a lot of travel resources out there for us. So just wondering your thoughts on the matter and if you had any recommendations or plans to expand your current business to include these parks among your services. So thanks a lot and keep up the great work.
Well, Jen, you know, first of all, I've got a bunch of hands that went up here as we were listening to your voicemail volunteering to go cover these other parks. We've been asked the question a couple of times, and, you know, mainly it's a logistical thing for us right now in terms of, all my people are pretty much based here. We do have some agents working for Dreams Unlimited that are based out of the UK, but, you know, none of us have ever been to those parks, so we try and, you know, as you can gather from the site and the show, we try and speak to what we know. And those are great unknowns for us. Now, as far as why Disney, well, you don't see Disney promoting those parks more. You have to keep in mind that Disney's a really big company with several branches and divisions and lots of strategic partnerships. They did not build these parks overseas unilaterally. They partnered with other companies. There were other owners involved. So how they're advertised and how they're treated is different than the parks that Disney owns directly. For example, they have no ownership interest whatsoever in Tokyo Disneyland. They ended up selling all of that to the Oriental
Land Company.
The Oriental Land Company was who's the owner. And now in Tokyo Disney Sea, that was a partnership with the both of them. Disney has a partnership there. So these are all very, you know, Disney has all these different relationships. So how they get marketed, where they get marketed, what kind of effort gets put into that is different than what you see here. Plus, there's also a very limited market, I think, in the U.S. of people who are actually willing to, you know, that's not something the average American family is going to do. They're not going to travel to Paris or to Tokyo or to Hong Kong to go to a Disney theme park when they have choices on either coast right here. That's something that's reserved really for the, I'd say, the Uber fan who can, you know, go and do, you know, God bless you, you can do all the theme parks. But I don't know how much of a market there is, how much of their marketing dollars they'd want to spend in the U.S. to promote
Disney
it.
Disney is very, they pinpoint their market. We found this out when they did the Mediterranean cruises. We found out from people who were in the Mediterranean and from travel agents that we heard from in the Mediterranean that Disney did no advertising. Excuse me, that Disney did little to no advertising in Europe for these Mediterranean cruises. This was not their market. The market was to market these to folks in the U.S. to go to Europe. They were not marketed in folks to Europe as a vacation option. So we see them target markets. And so we never, you know, we never see marketing for Paris or Tokyo or any of the other parks here in the U.S.
There are also different rules and regulations for marketing and selling of travel in different parts of the world. Disney actually has separate travel companies within their company that handles each of the different parks and destinations. So that adds another layer of complexity to advertising and selling of travel in other areas. So it really gets into a whole complex issue with how Disney handles these restrictions that they have to go by. One of the things we see is how they advertise to other countries' U.S. parks. The U.K., we hear from people in the U.K. all the time about how they can't buy directly from the U.S. travel company that Disney owns, from Disney Travel. They have to go through a local travel agency or an internet-based travel agency. And the same thing with, I think you guys in Canada have that issue as well. So there's a myriad of complexities with these different destinations.
But, I would love to hear from, you know, you folks who've been to Disneyland Paris and Tokyo and Hong Kong and all those other great places love to go. Of all of them, I think it's Tokyo and Paris that I really, 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 really want to see.
One of the problems with people from the U.S. going to Paris is the euro is...
It's killer right now.
Killer right now, and that limits the amount of people.
It is brutal.
So the exchange rate is horrible.
Yeah, when we're at par with Canada, there's something wrong.
Someone at the last pod meet actually brought me a $2 Canadian coin,
well,
a toonie.
You were supposed to show that. Bring it
yeah,
to
I know,
us.
And I forgot. I have it at home on my desk.
The loonie.
I'm going to hold on to it. Maybe I can
use
it.
As I say, it's worth like $120 now.
Yeah, right.
Should keep that.
I hope that answers your question, Jen. Thanks very much for calling in. I do have an email that I want to read from Donna and Roger Sauer. I'm not sure how you pronounce your last name. I apologize. S-A-U-E-R. But it was a great email, I wanted to share it with everybody. We just finished a great week at Walt Disney World to experience for the first time special holiday events. Went to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, Candlelight Processional with Andy McDowell, and found each event wonderful. My wife Donna and I greatly appreciated your hospitality at the December 13th podcast meet at the Dolphin. The camaraderie and refreshments provided by the Diz were a highlight of our week. And a visit to the Shrine of Cart Cam was memorable as well. Interestingly, at the meet, we were speaking with a young man whose daughter was poring over a voluminous book of Disney pins. After a few words, we found out that he was, like us, from Oregon. Two more questions elicited the fact that he is my wife's second cousin living with his family about 50 miles away from where they live in Salem.
Wow.
We had a nice but brief reunion and discovered that despite more than 20 years since they last saw each other, a love of Disney and regularly listening to the Diz podcast brought us together.
That's really weird that you went to read that, because we did speak to the other half of the family and he told us the story at the meet.
Yeah.
And that's so weird.
That's amazing.
All I could think, I'm like, it's a small world after all. That's all I could think about.
He goes on to say, we're back in rainy Oregon now and hope you can hold this event again next year when we plan to bring other family members with us. Until then, our next Disney fix will be in January when we travel to Japan to visit our nephew. We're looking forward to the Disney Tokyo Resort, especially Tokyo Disney Sea. After this trip, we will have visited every Disney park in the world. If you're interested in a voicemail or a live call from Tokyo, let us know.
Yes.
Absolutely. We're very interested in that. Actually, I'd love to, the next time you're in town, I'd love to invite you to come and sit with us and tell us about your experiences going around to all the different Disney parks. I think that would be a real interesting segment.
Yeah, he'd be able to compare each park for us.
Just, you know, give some real perspective. I think that's
answer some of the questions we can't answer.
Exactly. This is a great story. This is one of the best stories I've seen come through. So I'm glad you had a great time. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to meet you on the 13th. But sounds like that was a neat experience. So thanks very much for sending in the email to Roger and Donna from Salem, Oregon. So who has another email they'd like to read?
I do. Mine is from Maggie. Maggie, I have to put my glasses on. Maggie doesn't tell us where she's from. Maggie says, having first gone to Walt Disney World in 1973 as a 7-year-old, and having grown up in the Orlando area, I visited the theme park so many times as an adolescent, teen, college student with my husband and now with a child of our own. As many times as I visited Disney, I find something new on every trip. On our most recent visit, we discovered that children can collect trading cards from bus and monorail drivers and boat captains. These are free and are a fun way for young children to interact with cast members. These are official Walt Disney World transportation collector cards. In all, each features a picture of the vehicle, a Disney character, and some Disney trivia. My son is 3 years old and enjoys the bus and monorail rides almost as much as the theme park rides. It's even more fun now that he often gets a card on the ride. We're always careful to ask the driver while waiting at a stop when he or she is not busy. Just wanted to pass something on other parents of young Dizzers might enjoy. It's little things like this that make our trips magical every time and have us looking forward to the next trip. Maggie, I have to tell you something. This was news to me, too.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great tip.
None of us here knew it, I don't think. Did anybody here know that?
No, I knew about the monorail driver card and that thing, but I didn't realize they were trading cards.
I didn't either.
That's really cool.
I knew the monorail driver pilot. Could give you like a pilot license or something like that. But this is wonderful. I think it's a great tip. I'm going to share it with other people.
Great email.
I hope it's true, Maggie.
That's right. We'll ridicule you publicly if it's not.
That's right.
No,
thank you.
Won't. Just kidding. All right. Who else?
I have one from Mary. She's from Seymour, Wisconsin. Hi, everyone. Since you were talking about Disney Cruise Line on your recent podcast, I was wondering what each of you thought were the best shore excursions you've been on. I get the impression that a number of you, perhaps all of you, have been on the Disney Cruise Line in the past. My family has done both the 7-night Eastern and the 7-night Western Caribbean cruises. We're looking forward to doing Disney Cruise again in the future and thought you might have some ideas on different shore excursions that you've enjoyed that would perhaps not initially think of doing ourselves, that they would perhaps not think of doing themselves. We've been on the cruise several times, but we've only done a few shore excursions. I did the parasailing
a castaway.
That's because Corey's cheap.
Yeah. No, Julie likes to do the...
He's so tight, he squeaks.
The self-guided shopping tours. That's why.
I don't like snorkeling and all that.
And that's the other one. We did the Shipwreck Cove snorkel tour in St. Martin.
I swam the whole time with the kids.
I enjoyed it. Julie didn't like it as much.
I just don't like that snorkel.
I can't snorkel.
It's a 3.5-hour tour.
We took the Tulum Ruins tour in Cozumel, and I thought it was absolutely spectacular. It was something I'll never forget doing.
Yeah.
It was
And Tulum is the one that's on the coast, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. That's a very unique set of ruins.
It's an all-day event. There's a couple different types of transportation, and it's very, very tiring.
Go to the bathroom before you get on the bus and smoke a lot of cigarettes before you get on the bus if
they,
you smoke.
They actually stop, and you can smoke and go to the bathroom.
When I did mine. I didn't go to Tulum. I forgot. I can never remember the name of the one we went to. It was out of Costa Maya. It was like an hour or 2-hour drive to get there, but they didn't stop, and the only bathroom was the one that was on the bus, and it was so vile. We were sitting next to it and gagging the entire trip.
Oh, no, this
it was terrible.
I have a secret, though. On these excursions, when you have to take a bus ride, I always was one of those people who, wherever I was, I just got in line. Somebody suggested to me that you get at the end of the line. And what happens is, when they fill up the first bus, you get to be on the second bus where there's more room and you don't have to sit side by side. Always get at the end of the line and wait for them to fill up that second bus. I thought that was a great tip.
It's not always good to be first.
Exactly.
What if they only have one bus?
Then you're screwed. on the Tulum Ruins tour, they did stop. They made a stop at a gift shop, and there was restrooms. One of the things I would suggest to you wholeheartedly is that you bring something to drink with you.
Oh, yeah.
These are architectural or archaeological ruins, and there are no bathrooms. There are no drinking fountains. This is a couple of hours in a place that's ancient. So there are no modern amenities until you get back out to the bus area.
Yeah. Now I'm not a big one for shore excursions either, but then I've done the cruise a lot, so I know what I like when I travel to these places. On the Eastern Caribbean, a guaranteed must do for me is St. John. I don't do the when you get to St. Thomas, you can take a ferry over to St. John. They do shore excursions. I never do them because I know we get the ferry in Red Hook and take it over ourselves, because the shore excursions only allow you, like, at most a couple of hours on the beach in St. John. And I always end up back on the ship way too early and really wish that I had more time to spend. So we started a couple of years ago. I started, you know, just doing it myself. Go to Red Hook, grab the ferry over to St. John. You can get... There were taxis, those bizarre taxis they have in the Caribbean, are a dime a dozen. You can find them anywhere you are. And St. John is beautiful because it's a U.S. national park. It's donated to the U.S. government by, I forgot which Rockefeller, but the deal was that they could not develop more than 20% of it. If they developed more than 20% of it, that the ownership would revert back to the Rockefeller family. So U.S. made it a national park. It is one of the few Caribbean islands that is still pretty much pristine. The beaches are all U.S. National Park beaches, so they're maintained by the U.S. government. They're beautiful, and I love St. John. I think it is a really authentic – it feels like an authentic Caribbean experience to me without the T-shirt shops, the jewelry stores, the people bugging me on the street corners. You get none of that there.
Diana, I regret not doing that when we were in St. Thomas.
Yeah, me too.
And there is – when you get into St. John, where the dock is, up the street off to the right, not too far from the dock, is this – it's kind of set back a little bit, but it's this series of stores. It's not ostentatious. Lots of little great little boutique-y type stores and places to eat. And it's just – it's really nice. Very expensive. St. John, anything you do on St. John is ridiculously expensive, but it's absolutely worth a day trip.
One of the other things that John and I like to do is whenever we go to one of the islands, we usually do it when we first visit an island. Most of the cruise companies have what they call island tours, and what it is it's a short thing, or usually when you first get there in the morning, where they take you to see the highlights of the island. And by doing these island tours, we've gotten to see things on most of the islands that we never would have ventured off on our own to go see. For instance, in Grand Cayman, you can go see the turtle farm, and there's a house made out of conch shells. We've done this in Aruba. We've done this in St. Thomas. So it's a nice thing to do. It's usually not an expensive excursion. It's a couple of hours, usually early in the day, and you get to see the highlights of the island. And then if you want to do some shopping or some beach time before you have to be back on the ship, you can still do that. But you can actually say you've seen more of the island that way. And that's...
I have a question for you, Peter. What about the open-air massage? Didn't you do that at Castaway?
At Castaway Key, yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
Well, here's the thing. It's nice. It's an open-air massage. These great cabanas over on the adult beach that open up. You get a beautiful view of the ocean. But you're on a massage table, so you're face down the entire time.
Yeah.
You're not like, it's not like you're looking at that view while you're getting a massage. So you're paying really to know that you're there getting it done. So... are they good massages? Yeah, it was, you know, depending on who you can get a good massage. But is it worth the premium for, you know, having it done on the beach? No.
No.
We enjoy renting the snorkel equipment and the raft.
Doing it
going
ourselves.
Going to the adult beach.
Yeah.
Relaxing out there. Now, what about tipping these guides? I know a lot of them, you know, expect tips.
Yeah, well, and they're not shy about asking for
right,
it.
Right, right.
We always tip the – if you do any kind of island tour, there's a driver involved, and he's not just driving you from place to place. He's explaining it and pointing things out. So we always tip him a couple bucks when we get off.
I actually got to see the Outback that Sylvester Stallone goes to.
Very nice.
That's excellent.
That was very exciting.
Well, I mean, it's the kind of thing that was supposed to be funnier. In my head, it was funnier.
Insert bomb dropping noise here.
You really? All right, they can't all be great, okay?
No, we have to put crickets in.
Really?
Gosh.
Well, I looked at you like, okay.
Yeah, that was a good story.
I enjoy doing the tours that aren't too long, that don't take up most of your day.
Yeah, because that way there you can go back to the ship and have lunch.
See, you know. I'm sorry, Bobby, go ahead.
You know, if you're going to do a shore excursion, a morning one, you really want to go back to the ship and eat on the ship.
And take a nap. I was waiting for it.
Do you want to give away our one big tip on St. Thomas for fear that it's not going to be too crowded and everyone's going to do it, where we go to eat?
Well, I don't know that our audience is that large yet, so.
Everyone in the world is listening.
I'm not saying anything because y'all looked at me so strangely before.
It's not the Outback, is it?
No, it's not. The Sylvester Stallone goes down.
There's one other thing I would recommend too in terms of going to most of the islands in the Caribbean, but in particular because I've experienced it, St. Martin and St. Thomas. Some people are inclined to believe that, you know, when they hear they get good deals on jewelry in the islands, that it's not real. It really is. You really are getting some high quality gems at prices a lot lower than you're going to get them here. It may seem like the prices are high on some items, but take a look at the quality of what you're getting, and like, you know, with diamond, especially with diamonds and emeralds and things like that, what you pay for them here. I was pricing emeralds in the islands versus here, and I mean it could be as much as $1,000 difference for the same stone, same quality stone.
Well, you were with us when we got mine in St. Martin. And, I mean, I love it. I mean, it commemorates my graduation from college, and I'll never stop wearing that thing.
And unlike the jewelry stores in the United States, you can haggle and must haggle
and
with these guys.
And Corey did.
Yeah. I told Julie, I said, if you love it, just tap me on the foot. But don't show.
I couldn't be excited. It was so.
Yeah, don't
hard.
Show your excitement. And
I was
we got
to
them
look
down.
Like I was miserable
we got them
the
down
whole time.
Now you see what we do is we do good cop, bad cop. Where it's like I'll act real excited about something, and Walter be like, "No, we're not getting that." And so then because Walter can do that whole cool detached thing much much better than I can, and that works. That works because they always because they see him, they see me listening to him. So they keep coming down on the price, and at a certain point,
I'm
you know.
So glad that you didn't walk into the store that we were in when we were purchasing my ring until after we had purchased it, because he's like
it's
"Oh
gorgeous.
My god!"
It was.
He was
beautiful.
Going off. I'm like, "Thank God he wasn't here."
No, I wouldn't have done that in front of a salesman before you bought it. Trust me. So
we got a great deal on a tennis bracelet for Diana when we were in the islands.
I mean, we all do. I know we all shop.
We all.
And get great deals,
I know
so.
We've all gotten great deals on jewelry.
Not me,
because
I don't
see,
buy
I'm not
nothing.
Cheap, Pete.
What's that?
See, I'm not cheap.
Poor guy in the jewelry store was bloody. Corey was beating him up in the back room. How much is it now?
Now throw in a ruby, too.
There was one thing, though, that I have to say. He offered to clean my engagement ring. And I was like, sure. I thought he was going to do it right there in front of me. And he went to take it upstairs. I said, oh, no. I said, you're not taking my ring anywhere. I'm sorry. You know, I know I'm buying a ring from you and stuff like that. But that's not going anywhere out of my sight.
Yeah, it is a real problem, not just in the Caribbean, but all over, and especially in the United States. Where you bring your diamonds in to get cleaned, and they swap them out.
Yep.
They swap them out for cheaper stones, and in some cases, they swap them out for cubic zirconias.
Yeah.
No.
So that's why.
So don't let them have your jewelry.
That's bad.
Yeah. So I mean, no. You know. Yeah. Don't hand over your jewelry to anybody in the islands ever.
Before that's we move really along, John wants to share his tip about where we go in St. Thomas. Go ahead, tell him.
Go ahead.
No, I don't want to do it now.
Well, Lord Almighty.
We go to every time we go. It's part of what we do. There's a hotel up on the cliff. It's a Marriott. It's
Frenchman's Reef. Love that Marriott.
Right. And there's a restaurant in the Marriott called Frenchman's Reef. And we go up there every time and we have lunch up there. And it's just the most spectacular place because you're on a bluff that's a corner. So the restaurant sits in this location.
And it's an open-air restaurant.
Open-air restaurant. You can see the Disney ships. You can see all the cruise ships on one side.
All of St. Thomas Harbor.
You can see the harbor on the other side. You see the boats coming in and out. It's just the best place to go.
We saw a water spout having lunch there one day. We saw a water spout forming on the form on the ocean.
Yeah, it went all the way across the inlet, and then when it hit the land, it just disappeared. Yeah.
And they have something called conch chowder.
Very good. We've all been there. It's however, you have to take the taxi.
Yeah.
It's not within walking distance.
It's worth it.
Well, if anyone ever asks you if you want to take the scenic route, you tell them,
no,
I want to take the shortest route. We got in and the man explained to us that there was a lot of traffic in Charlotte Amalie that day, and he was going to take us on the scenic route. Well, that involved going through people's yards. That involved getting out and moving the chickens out of the way.
Shooing them out in front of the car. We got back in and drove.
We actually came so close to a rock wall that we had pebbles in the car. It was, tell them you just want to take the most direct route.
Yeah. That sounds like
and make sure
fun.
It has air conditioning, too. Check it. Check
most
the
of them don't. A lot of them are open-air cabs. Right, where
open-air Jeep type.
Yeah. Right. So it's something fun to do.
Well, I hope that answers your question. I think I gave you a lot of suggestions on your excursions there. So who else has an email they'd like to read?
I do. It's from CV in Little Rock, Arkansas. Oh. Corey had picked that one, too. She says, thank you for the tip in your last podcast. Sorry.
She's verklempt.
She writes, thank you for the tip in your last podcast on flying into Tampa instead of Orlando. I was able to get a flight to Tampa for only $79 on Southwest.
See?
It's $200 cheaper than her flight that would have been into Orlando.
Wow.
And then she says, I can do an hour or so drive to save $200.
I agree.
I have lived about a half a mile from the original home of the Osborne Lights, and they were wonderful, but unfortunately created a horrendous traffic jam on one of the busiest streets in town. I always said they should be in Walt Disney World.
Well, they listen to you.
I think that's pretty neat. So
that's great.
We're glad you got a good deal.
And I'm really glad that tip paid off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, always check Tampa. Always check Tampa.
Absolutely.
If you're looking at Orlando and the prices seem high, check Tampa.
Even paying for gas, she's still going to be saving and not
absolutely.
Spending as much money. So.
So cool. Cool. Thank you, Julie. Who else?
I have one from Cindy, and she's from Arlington, Virginia. And she's going to be coming down here for the 5K and 15K mini marathon weekend. And she wants to take the cheapest flight, but her flight lands at 2:50 in the afternoon on Friday. And she has to be at the Wide World of Sports before 7 o'clock. And she's wondering where she's taking Magical Express to Port Orleans. Should she use the Disney transportation to get over to Wide World of Sports to be there by 7? And she's asking our opinion. And I'm going to tell you that you shouldn't use Disney transportation once you get to the hotel. You should make arrangements to have them call a cab for you and take a cab over to the Wide World of Sports, at least one way. And then you can take a bus back when you're not stressed for time. The reason I say that is the you're not going to get a direct bus that goes from the hotel at Port Orleans to the Wide World of Sports. You're going to have to either go to the Transportation Center or Downtown Disney to get a bus to go there. So you're cutting it too close, way too close. And
you're going to spend all of your time
on buses.
On buses.
And you'll spend hours on buses.
It would only take you like 10 minutes to get there by cab.
Because keep in mind that, excuse me, Bob, keep in mind that that Magical Express is not a straight shot. You are going to stop at other hotels, depending on how many people are on the bus with you. That just that Magical Express trip can be a long one.
I would ask the question of the people that's running the marathon, is there an alternate plan in case your flight comes in late, number one, or you're not going to be there by 7? Because the marathon starts the next morning, and you need all that information. So I'd see if there was a backup plan for you to pick up the information or have them drop it off at the hotel or something you have to sign, have them do a fax between you or something. I'd do that ahead of time so you had a backup plan for it. So that's it. That's mine from Cindy.
Great. Thank you, Cindy, for the email. Thank you, Bob. Who else?
I have one. Mine is from Stephen in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What are you hello. What are you saying hello for?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
They're from Louisiana.
I know.
Go Tigers.
I talk to people in Louisiana. Okay. Hello.
We've not been on a Disney cruise yet, but I was wondering about their private island. If I understand correctly, the ships only visit once or twice a week. What does the cast that live on the island do the rest of the time?
It's Lord of the Flies.
Blackjack. They play poker.
How many people actually live, work on the island? What was the island inhabited before Disney bought it? If so, what happened to them? They're all dead.
The castaway Keishans.
What nation does the island actually belong to? Blah, 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 blah. Here's a bunch of questions about castaway
Keishans. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, everything I read, people had a little comment about, so I figured I would stop. Castaway Key is part of the Bahamas. It is not owned by Disney. It is owned by the Bahamas, and Disney has leased the island for 99 years. And before it was Castaway Key, it was known as Gorda Key. And there are some legends and some rumors about the island, specifically that it was used for illegal purposes. The airplane,
the runway
that's actually on the island was original to the island and was used by the inhabitants at that time. And when the
it was a gateway for drugs into the United States from the Caribbean.
I guess I didn't want to, you know, say that the drug runners were listening. I didn't want them to.
Drug runners are all downloading our show in between snorts.
I don't think it was a surprise to them.
Cocaine Key.
once the Bahamian government got them and kicked them out, then they leased the island.
What we've heard. We don't have this on great authority, and certainly Disney isn't going to turn around and say.
The name of the island is correct. It was Gorda Key, and it was there is some information out there about it if you want to look it up.
I don't think there's any lost peoples that were like inhabiting.
No, I don't think
there were no native
indigenous
island. Okay.
There were no indigenous people. Okay. I don't know how many cast members actually live on the island. I believe it changes because it depends on their needs. People come and go off the boat all the time. As far as what they do when the boat's not in port, they pretty much work.
Mm-hmm.
And stay inside because apparently at night there are big mutant bugs.
Yeah, right? They can't go outside.
During the day they work, they clean up the island and they make it pretty and they do what they have to do. And at night they pretty much hang out inside. And I understand there's recreational activities for them. You know, it's not like they're sequestered away and not allowed to speak to each other or anything like that.
They're all in solitary confinement.
They are.
Entertain the people that miss the boat.
And they're in Disney lockdown.
And his last question was, does Disney have any plans to build a resort on that island? That's been a question that's been raised many, many times. Everybody would love to see a resort on that island. And as Kevin mentioned, they do have a bug issue. So we've been told that Disney will never build a resort.
Well, it's not just the bug issue. It's also the logistical issue. How are they going to keep – it's one thing keeping the island stocked with everything it needs to handle the passengers coming in off the ship – it's a whole nother logistical issue if people are actually staying there.
Right.
And you have to make sure that these hotels, you know, have to have food and
entertainment,
you know, all this other stuff. So it creates logistical issues that they said they just can't overcome. Mm-mm. If they wanted to do it, they would love to do it. But it's just the logistics of it would make it almost impossible.
The cast members that live there, actually, there's a generator for electricity. So you figure there's no electricity into the island. There's no phone lines into the island.
It's going to cost a fortune to supply them.
And everybody wants to know, why doesn't the ship stay there for a couple days at a time instead of going and coming?
Three words.
Bugs.
Big mutant bugs.
Yeah, we were just on the cruise where we had two stops at Castaway and we had to leave the island.
But you had something unusual. You had back-to-back days,
right?
Yeah.
Where they pulled in one day.
Yeah, so we weren't just docked right there. We left.
And then come back the next day.
With the fireworks.
They told you it was about the fireworks. It was more about the bugs. Right. They lied.
So.
Castaway Keys, I think, is an interesting story. One of the things I like about Castaway Keys, we were there, Pete and I were there the December that Disney Cruise Line first launched.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference in that island between then and now is unbelievable.
It's unreal,
yeah.
They keep fixing it up and making it more and more beautiful. It's unbelievable.
They did a great job with that island.
Oh, yeah.
They actually rebuild it after one of the hurricanes.
Oh, yeah.
They did.
Get the Concula.
And
that's my favorite.
The boat's dock area is something that they made. They dredged it out so that the boat could actually fit there and pull up to a dock. So you didn't have to tender in. Very cool. Go on a cruise. It's great.
Now, there are occasions, though, just to let you know, there are occasions where the ship cannot dock in Castaway Key. There is a current that runs right in front of the area where they dock. And if the current is too strong, they can't get the ship through it.
Yeah. There's also
there have been times.
Issue.
There are times where they have to hang out, and you have to look at the island from the ship. They can't
tender
in. So
that's why they started backing the ship in, because then at least they have full speed ahead for getting out of there.
So, well, I hope that answers your question. Thank you for the email. And finishing us off for our last email of the year, Bob, go ahead and take it.
I have one from Jenny Floor from Dayton, Ohio. Does that check out? Thank you, Julie. She says...
Translator.
There's no R's in Dayton. Why would you be worried about that?
I think he's more worried about the last name.
Worried about the last name. She says, hello to everyone, and she has two questions. First, I wondered if Dreams Unlimited only help plan trips to Disney World or if they also help with Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland, etc. Our family is thinking about a cruise and having a clue to begin to book. She also wants to know about, she knows about Kevin and John and the Martins work together every day. My second question is about the Disney Widows, Bob's wife Diana, and the Disney widower, Pete's partner Walter.
Do you realize Diana has an R, but Walter doesn't? It's Walter and Diana.
Walter. My DH has been referred to as a Disney widower.
DH standing for dear husband.
Well, yes, dear husband. Is that what it means?
Yes.
No, it's designated hitter.
Wow, a sports reference.
Aren't you impressed?
Yeah.
That's two in a row.
Because while he enjoys a trip to Disney, he is not nearly as obsessed as I am. Is it safe to assume that Diana and Walter are not the huge Disney fans that you are? How do they cope, or are they excellent at playing along like my dear husband? Thanks again to all of you for the work you do.
Well, I can speak in terms of Walter. Walter is not a Disney fan. It's not, you know, he's not necessarily anti-Disney, just never really sparked his engine. So I know what I can bring him to. I know what I can ask him to do, and I know where I'm crossing the line. There are certain things he's not going to indulge me on. But for the most part, he's been very good. Walter and I, fortunately, you know, we're two people who like our space. So the amount of time that the site and the business take for me really doesn't have too much of a negative impact on our relationship. It's been pretty good. So, but yeah, I guess you could consider him a Disney widower.
Well, Diana is, she's as big on Disney as I am. I mean, there's times that she'll tell me, well, I'm going to get out of work and I'm going over to Epcot and I'm going to see this concert at the American Pavilion. And it's like, okay.
All we'd have to do is take all of our listeners into your house and they would know.
Yeah. It's Disney everywhere. It's not as bad as it used to be. I used to have the castle up above and it's, but no, she's as big a Disney holic as I am. I mean, she's the one that's out there showing me the hidden Mickeys when we're walking around, and I have to tell her, no, Diana, that is not a hidden Mickey. Just because the water spots on the thing are looking like it.
That's three bald men standing together. That's not it.
That's yeah, just not a birthmark.
And she does it occasionally, but you know, but she's you know, when I say I'm going over to one of the parks, she's right there ready, and she's probably in the car before I even finish the comment. So
Diana just has a job outside of Disney.
Yeah.
Her job doesn't really have to do with Disney.
Diana's a hospice nurse, so Disney is a good release
good escape,
for,
yeah.
Good
yeah.
escape for her.
Now, as far as your question about Dreams Unlimited travel, yes, we do handle Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and Disney Cruise Line. Nothing outside, and Universal. Nothing outside of that right now. That's pretty much our purview. That's that will change. We'll be adding things, actually, in the next several months. We'll be adding some things, but yeah, Dreams Unlimited handles all those things, so absolutely.
Can I give her an email address to write to?
Sure.
If you have questions about taking a Disney cruise, you can write to reservations@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. All together, all one word, and someone there will be able to help you with some questions about your Disney cruise and point you in the right direction of one of our Disney cruise experts.
Yeah, I think we've plugged Dreams more in this show than we have in like the last 6 months.
It just happened now.
Yeah, no, it's not planned, but
We have the emails asking the questions, so I think it's a good thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Hope you had a great year, Anthony.
All right, and that is going to do it for our final email show of the year. We will be back next Tuesday, Christmas Day, with our next show, and we'll have a show up as well on New Year's Day. So we'll wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday. And we'll be back with you again next Tuesday with another edition of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week.